Hello, everyone, and welcome to our monthly podcast entitled Rate Cut Hopes Fading. It is the 16th of April. My name is Lorna Denny, and I'm joined today by Niall McDonnell and Thomas Purgam. Markets started the year in confident mood, betting that the US Federal Reserve would take the lead on interest rate cuts, with as many as six cuts forecast for 2024. Those hopes have since diminished, and expectations for the first cut have been pushed back into the second half of the year. Today, we will consider how interest rate forecasts are in fact changing in response to economic data, and of course, the impact of these changes on financial markets. But first, Niall, perhaps you could give us a roundup of performance over the first quarter.
Yes, good morning, Lorna, from an unusually sunny Dublin. 2024 has started with strong equity market performance, so continuing the rally that we have seen since November last year. The US continues to be a top performing stock market, up some 12% as of close of play last week, and global stocks in general are about 10%. Europe also positive, and Japan a strong market performance there as well. But the Magnificent Seven continues to be the star performers this year. Nvidia has doubled its market cap to some 2.4 trillion. However, there has been divergence within this group as Nvidia and Meta have outperformed, while Apple and Tesla have struggled. The momentum factor has been the top performing equity style this year, so the winners keep on winning. However, we are seeing signs of some broadening out in the equity market rally, with small cap stocks, that's smaller companies by market capitalization size, they're up some 5% year to date. Although it has been a different picture in the bond markets, longer dated government bonds have sold off year to date, and this has pushed down most investment grade indices into the red. So the Bloomberg Global Aggregate Index, which is a broad-based index of government and corporate bonds, that's down about 1% in US dollar terms or 1.5% in euro hedge terms. What has been driving this? A resetting of expectations on central banks cutting interest rates. So last year we saw quite a significant rally in bonds across the curve, so yields fell, pushing up bond prices. And a lot of investors in 2024 have begun unwinding their long bond exposure. So the US 10-year is up 64 basis points to a yield of 4.5%. And looking at the screens from last night, it's up another 10 basis points to 4.6% yield, due to concerns on Middle East tensions and strong retail numbers helping to deepen the sell-off. Credit markets, however, have been resilient, and appetite for corporate bonds has been strong. A lot of institutional-like investors, like pension funds, insurance companies, have been buying corporate bonds to lock in what appear to be decade high in yields. So credit spreads, that's the additional yield corporate bonds offer over government, have been falling, and US credit spreads are now in the top 10% of all-time tights. European credit has been one of the few bright spots in the investment grade space, and despite the move higher in yields, is positive year to date, up some 0.5%. Just a quick point on the commodity side, the commodities index is up about 4.5% year to date. An escalating conflict in the Middle East, continuing prohibitions on Russian supply, and more broadly, intensified geopolitical risks continue to drive oil and some precious metals higher. So gold is up 12% and Brent crude is up 16% both year to date.
That's very useful, thank you. We have talked on this podcast before about the last mile of disinflation. Do you still believe that is where we are in the US economy?
Yes, we're probably still in the last mile of disinflation, but the data in the US so far this year has been unconvincing. So there is a saying that inflation goes up by the elevator, but comes down by the stairs. And we have seen a significant and material fall in inflation numbers over the last 12 to 18 months. Last week's Labour Department CPI data did cause some volatility, though, as a surprise to the upside. Headline prices rose some 36 basis points in March, but worryingly, supercore inflation jumped close to 1% in March and is at 4.8% over the last 12 months. So this is substantially higher than expectations and is the biggest increase in 10 months. I think intermittent spikes and falls in inflation numbers are going to be expected. It is worth noting that some Fed governors have raised forecasts for neutral inflation over the longer term. What is giving some level of comfort, though, is the overheating elements of inflation have not been firing up. We are not seeing a retightening in the labour market. We're not seeing an increase in wage growth and not seeing a material rise in inflation expectations. So the US 5-year inflation swap, that's only about 10 basis points higher this year. These are the elements that really typically give you sustained inflation problems.
Those are quite comforting factors. But as mentioned, markets were started the year looking for these six rate cuts in 2024. What are the latest market predictions?
Well, the latest market prediction is that there's going to be one cut and a 70% chance of another cut this year. So really, we have seen this retracing of the aggressive six cuts that were priced in at the end of December 2023.
And the timing of the first cut then has been continually pushed further and further back.
Yes, well, our view was always that six cuts was far too aggressive. That would have been the fastest cutting cycle in Fed history, even more so than during the great financial crisis. So it was hard to see the Fed doing that with the US economy so strong. So as I mentioned, presently there is one cut priced in and a 70% chance of another, but the higher for longer narrative still holds. Interestingly, this should lead to a stronger dollar, especially if the ECB cuts before the Fed, which there appears to be a strong possibility of this happening.
Yes, we will come on to that. But just sticking with the Fed for a minute, have you sensed a change in Fed rhetoric over the last few weeks?
Fed Chairman Powell has taken pains to say that the inflation fight is not done. With services inflation and labour market still so strong, the Fed really must hold course and keep that downward pressure on prices. The US economy continues to be exceptionally strong. But looking at the most recent FOMC minutes, it seems that most participants believe that it would be appropriate to reduce interest rates this year. The Fed staff expect core PCE inflation to decline to 2.5% at the end of the year and to be close to 2% by 2026. They have caveated this, noting that there is upsides to risks to its inflation forecast if supply-side disruptors or, quote, unexpectedly persistent inflation dynamics materialize.
So that upside risk to inflation forecast, is that what the rise in US Treasury bond yields is telling us now?
Yes, US 10-year is up around 4.6%, and some forecasts believe this could rise to 5%. When we look at the swap markets, they're pricing in that they expect the 10-year to be about this level this time next year. But interestingly, buying protection on government bonds in the option market has spiked materially since the end of March. Investors are cautious on the near term for volatility in bond markets.
And if we look across to Europe, Thomas, and the European Central Bank, a rather different picture is starting to develop there.
Good morning, Lorna. Good morning, Niall. From a very usual cloudy Paris. In fact, macro dynamics are showing increasing signs of stabilization in the Eurozone in recent months, despite a difficult situation in Germany. Especially inflation continues to moderate in the euro area, around 2.4%. Inflation expectations are following a similar trajectory, both for households and businesses. And at the same time, wage indicators are trending downwards. This should moderate the upward pressure on service prices. Christine Lagarde, in her speech last week on April meeting, indicated that a further decline in inflation and a return of the ECB's inflation forecast to target would likely allow for a rate cut in June. She also wanted to reaffirm the ECB's independence from the Fed, specifying that some members of the Council were in favor of a rate cut as early as April. The ECB's more flexible stance validates market expectation around 80% probability priced for a first rate cut in June, and a little over three cuts in total by the end of the year. So in total, this seems quite reasonable and appropriate to us.
But it is very much a diverging picture from what we're seeing for Fed expectations. So are we seeing improving interest in the Eurozone bond markets because of this?
Long-term interest rates in the developed world have continued that upward trajectory, and especially in the recent months and the last weeks. This has been mainly driven by the US dynamics, with smaller increases in other countries like Europe or Japan. Investor sentiment is an important factor for short-term interest rate prospects. In terms of servers, the positioning remains bearish, although it is less intense than the autumn of 2023. This is moderately unfavorable for long-term bonds. And the cyclical divergence between the US and the Europe does indeed argue for a significant transatlantic spread on their government bond yields.
And in your view then, would the markets be happy if the ECB cut their interest rates ahead of the Fed?
Good question. Well, since the beginning of the year, the S&P 500 and the Euro stocks have shown similar performances in local currencies. If you look at in the Euro currencies, the US is outperforming in Euro due to the rise of the dollar. But ECB has finally decided to move to be more proactive, with a probable rate cut in, as I said, while the Fed is taking a more cautious approach and maybe reluctant for a rate cut before the ECB, and seems to be leaning towards September more than July or June. This is an improvement in the perception of the European economic cycle. Certainly, the growth differential remains very much in favor of the US. but relatively, the improvement is more on the reopen side. So it's about potential. The improvement is beginning to translate into earning revision, and after a long period of decline, this revision seems to be improving since the end of March. So this is a good sign.
It is a good sign. And perhaps you could finish then, Tom Herbert, with a quick look at the global economy on that basis.
Sure. If we look at the global macroeconomy, it is improving. It continues to improve. The world composite PMI gained an additional 20 basis points in March. So at 52.3, it is at its highest level since June 2023, in line with the global GDP growth of just under 3.5% on an annualized basis. The recovery now extends to the manufacturing sector. The PMI index confirmed that in March, its rise above the 50 threshold for the first time since the summer of 2022. Activity remains decent in the services sector. Overall, businesses leaders are optimistic about their production outlook. Orders are picking up and the downward adjustment in stocks is complete. Importantly, corporate profitability remains strong, which limits adjustments in the employment and investment. Finally, the US and the Eurozone continues to benefit from their expansive fiscal policy, and China has taken measures to support its economy, with Chinese growth expected to exceed 6% in Q1.
This is certainly an improving picture, and in the light of that then, Niall, what adjustments have we made to our tactical asset allocation recently?
Yes, Lorna. Well, we're remaining moderate overweight in equities with a preference for US and Japanese equities. And within fixed income, we've recently moved to a moderate overweight in duration via government bonds and funding this by reducing alternatives in cash in the portfolio. We've taken profits in our position on emerging market debt and returned that to neutral. Our view on the equity market is that the market will continue to focus on the improving interest rate outlook. With interest rates, it seems to be more of a question of when and less of an if. And this positive narrative will be the overriding factor supporting stock prices in the coming months, in our view.
Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you, Lorna.
Thank you.